Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. Objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
So one of the great questions that is asked in the world and has been asked for decades in the world is why do some countries succeed? Why do some cultures do well and others are complete and utter failures? What is it about America? What is it about the West that allowed it to become so rich so quickly? So rich so quickly. 300 years ago, we were all poor. Everybody, all over the world and in the United States. The United States didn't exist, of course, but the people who lived here. Poverty was the standard. The average wage was about $3 a day. Everywhere in the world, it was about the same. And then suddenly, around 1800, or as I like to say, around 1776, the West, and in particularly the United States, just took off. Took off. And today, we are many, 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 many times wealthier than what we were back then. And other places around the world didn't take off. Africa is just as poor today as it was 300 years ago. Asia, about 50 years ago, was just as poor as they were 300 years ago. And then they did something. And then, bam, they have now become rich. So what is it? Now, there are a lot of factors here, but I want today to pinpoint on one that is crucial and fundamental. One that is at risk. Factors that is at risk and might explain why we are not doing as well as we used to do in the West. So what is it? What makes countries successful? What makes economies successful? What makes one of the things that makes the United States the success that it is and why communism struggled so much and why 300 years ago there was almost nobody succeeding economically is the existence in the United States, the recognition in the United States in the law of property rights. The recognition of property rights. Now, property rights on individual rights. They're inalienable. They are part of who we are. They are part of our nature. We have a right to property. Why? Because we have a right to our life. Now, that already is a revolution, the idea of a right to your own life. I've talked about this before on the show. But before 1776, the assumption was always that your life belonged to the king, the queen, the council, the pope, the state, the tribe, the chieftain, somebody else, just not you. What happened during the Enlightenment, what happened during the Age of Reason, and what happened in the Declaration of Independence is the founders and the thinkers that made it possible for the founders to do this said, no, my life belongs to me. I have a right to my own life. I have a right to life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. By the way, one of the great tragedies of American history is that they erased property from the Declaration of Independence. Life would be a lot easier for those of us who believe in freedom and capitalism if the Declaration had maintained the idea of a right to property. But they understood the right to life as including the right to property. You can't have a right to life. It means nothing to say you have a right to live your life, to take the actions necessary to sustain your life, to take the actions necessary to pursue your rational values so that you can live the best life as you can, free of coercion, free of force. That's what a right to life means. That is meaningless without a right to property. The right to property means, well, yeah, you act and you get to keep the things that you produce, the stuff that you create. If you don't have a right to the product of your effort, if you don't have a right to the product of to your own creation, then you don't have a right to your life. You can't sustain your life. You can't, if you don't, if you are the one who sows the seeds and you don't have the right to the product, to the wheat that comes as a consequence, then how can you live? How can you eat? How can you exist? You don't have a right to your own life. Indeed, if you don't have a right to the stuff that you produce, to the stuff that you make, then you're a slave. Then your life belongs to somebody else. The product of your production belongs to somebody else, and therefore your time belongs to somebody else, your effort belongs to somebody else, and therefore your life belongs to somebody else. So if you believe in a right to life, you believe that you have a right to the product that you produce that is required for your life. And that's a property right. Now, property, like all rights, is still a right to action. It's not the right to the thing. It's a right to act and the consequences of producing and acting that thing. So it isn't a guarantee that you will earn any property, but a guarantee that you will own it if you earn it. It's the right, to quote Ayn Rand, from Man's Rights, an excellent essay you should all read in The Virtue of Selfishness, or in Capitalism, Not Knowing the Deal. Both books, because it's such an important essay, both books have this essay. Man's Rights in The Virtue of Selfishness, or in Capitalism, The Unknown Ideal, or on the Ayn Rand Institute website, aynrand.org. If you go to the campus section of the website, you can find the Man Rights essay free online for you to read. I encourage you to do so. Most probably the most important essay ever written on political theory. Okay. So she says, to quote her, the right to property is the right to gain, to keep, to use, and to dispose of material values. The right to gain material values, to keep material values, all actions, to use material values, and to dispose of material values. Your material values. Why are they yours? Because you gained them. Because you earned them. Because you produced them. Or because, you bought them, you inherited them. That any one of those, somebody had a property right and transferred them to you through trade or through inheritance. So that's what the right to property is. And it is essential for human life. It is essential that we not grant that right, because all human beings have the right, that we recognize that right, and that we build a political system that respects that right, that defends that right. And that is the difference between political systems that are free, political systems that lead to wealth creation. When people own stuff, when people know that when they invest in what they own, the product will be theirs, and they get to keep it. Nobody can come and take it away from them. They produce and make and create. When people are told you don't own anything, then they don't produce. They don't create. They don't do anything. All right, you're listening. This is the Aaron Brooks Show, and I'm gonna use an example for this of the opposite of what happens when you take away property rights of people. You don't leave them alone. You give them checks. But you deny them property rights. You deny them the ability to own their own property. You deny them the benefits of the ownership of that property. You deny them the right to gain, keep, use, and dispose of their own property. What happens to a culture in which you do that? And there's an experiment, and a fascinating experiment going on right now in this country. There's a group, which you will find out after the next break. There's a group in this country whose property rights are being denied, have been denied, probably for over 100 years. And you look at the outcome, at what's happened to them, and you look at the rest of the country, and it's not the same thing. That group lives in conditions of the third world, and yet we are part of the first world. And yet it's in the same country. The difference is, for that group, we don't let them, we don't recognize, we don't protect their property rights. For the rest of the country, for the most part, we do. There are lots of flaws in the property rights system in the United States. Taxation, particularly at the rates that we pay today, is a great example of that. But and regulation and controls and all the ways in which we control property today in the United States. We don't really have full property rights, but we still have some. This group has none. And it's night and day. It's night and day. Yeah, property rights are, you can't have freedom. You can't have wealth. You can't have success without them. All right, you're listening to the Yaron Brook Show, and you can follow me on Twitter at Yaron Brook, YaronBrook. You can like me on Facebook, same thing, YaronBrook. And I'd love for you to call in. We'd love to take care. What do you think about property rights? Any guesses about what this group is? 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600. And we'll talk more right after this break.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Inbound Ike, heavy at Wolf to Harlem, Thorndale to the old post office, about 50 minutes. On the outbound Ike, tapping the brakes at Western, and then again at Cicero, from the old post office to Thorndale, 35 minutes. Inbound Eden, slight jam at Foster to Montrose, 23 minutes from Lake Cook. Outbound Trip, 20 minutes from Montrose out to Lake Cook. Inbound Kennedy, heavy at Central into the Burn, 45 minutes from O'Hare to downtown. On the outbound Kennedy, jammed at Addison to Montrose, about 37 minutes from downtown out to O'Hare. On the inbound Stevenson, slow at State to Lakeshore, 46 minutes from 355. Outbound Stevenson, heavy at LaGrange from Lakeshore out to 355, 40 minutes. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 64, partly sunny, high 79 tomorrow. Currently 77, next update in 15 on AM 560, The Answer.
You wake up in the morning and you want to know what's going on and what happened while you were asleep. You could grab your smartphone and wade through endless cat videos. Or you could listen to that other radio station, you know, that's talking about last night's ball game.
Winning records for starting pitchers matter anymore.
Or you could turn on Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson and get up to speed fast with the latest news, traffic, and weather on AM 560, The Answer.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So today we're talking about the importance of property rights, and I brought you an example of a group of Americans, who don't have property rights, whose property rights are being denied to them. And, you know, I wonder if you guessed who those, what that group is and what are the consequences. You know, give me a call, 312-642-5600 if you want to talk about property rights, if you want to talk about the applications, anything about, you know, how the country today, how it's dealing with them. All right, let's see. Do you guys know what is the poorest ethnic group in the United States, or racial group, or ethnic group, however you call it? I hate these distinctions, but in this case, it's relevant. Which is the poorest group in the United States? Not just poorest. Alcohol use disorders are the highest. Gang membership, highest. Rape is reported by women in this group 2.5 times the rate of the national average. Child abuse, twice as high as the national average. Right? Which group? Anybody? These are all the 2 million Native Americans. So this is the Native Americans, primarily those who live in reservations. So American Indians, American Natives, Native Americans, however you want to call them, live today on reservations. They are basically guardians of the state, or being protected by the state. They have no property rights. Their property, which is collectively owned by the tribe, is held in trust by the federal government. Right? They are poor. They tend to be alcoholic. Suicide rates are the highest in the country. Violent crime is prevalent. As I said, rape, child abuse, and so on. And, you know, lots of researchers have all kinds of hypotheses about this. So some of them say it's about the history. You know, we really abused the Indians, and this is all true. If you go back to the history and you go back to how they were treated back in the 19th century, it's horrific what America did to the Indians, how we violated treaties. Our forefathers treated Indians, particularly in the later part of the 19th century, really, really, really badly. Now, it was difficult options, but clearly there was bad stuff that was done, and all in the name of wrong ideas. But that's 100 years ago, more than 100 years ago. You'd think they'd recovered by now, but no, they haven't. So some say, some researchers, particularly in academia, argue that it's American culture. We don't give them enough respect. We traffic in stereotypes. And by the way, I'm a lot of this is coming out of an article I'm reading in the Atlantic magazine called One Way to Help Native Americans. And I'm not going to give you the rest of the title because that'll give away where I'm heading with this. But it's written by Naomi Schaefer Riley. Right? Naomi Schaefer Riley on the Atlantic.com website, Atlantic Magazine. It's you know, I read the Atlantic quite often because it has some really intelligent articles in it, and I always learn stuff, and this is a good example. So some researchers say, no, it's because of you know, we have the Redskins, and we treat them badly, and we call them names, and we use them for nicknames and logos, and we've destroyed their self-esteem, and this is why they're economically devastated, and they are, all this bad stuff has happened, right? So two reasons are being given. One, history, and history is a factor, there's no question. Two, disrespect, you know, racism, if you will, in various forms. Maybe that's a factor as well, maybe, right? Although the American Indians themselves deny that. I would argue in this article, this really, really, really good article, which I'm, you know, this is, I'm amazed that I found this at the Atlantic Magazine, which the article's argument is no. The real issue is that they don't have property rights. When you don't have property rights, individual property rights, that's what creates economic devastation. If you combine economic devastation with a lack of property rights, it creates low self-esteem, low regard for oneself, which together, all three, lead to no future, nowhere to go, no hope. And if you add all four, That leads to suicide, depression, violence. And that's what we're seeing. It's exactly what we're seeing. And again, it's almost, most of these statistics are for, primarily for those Native Americans who live on reservations, where on the reservation they are denied property rights. And why are they denied property rights? Because part of the deal, part of the way in which we dealt with the Native American problem in the 19th century, part of the way in which we dealt with this issue, was to put them on the reservations, but we treated them like little children. And we said, we don't trust you to actually, you know, own the reservation and do stuff with it. And we don't want, and part of the reason for that was, you know, paternalism, but also it was the tribal leaders wanted to maintain control over their tribes. So they didn't want the individuals within the tribe to get property. So the tribe was granted the land, but then that land is held in trust for the Indians by the federal government. So the tribe doesn't really have that much control over the land. That land is held in trust that by the federal government. So at two levels here are property rights denied these Native Americans. One is, as individuals, they cannot own property. It's the tribe's property. There's no individual property. And then, the tribe doesn't really have control of its over the property. Not that a collective ever does, but because the federal government has it in trust. So the policy was originally to keep Indians contained on certain lands, to keep them there, wall them off, to ghettoize them. Indians today can't own land. They can't build equity. They can't take out mortgages. They can't take advantage of the vast natural resources that they have on this land. The tribal leaders, in order to control their people, they don't care if their people stay poor. They don't want to modernize. They don't want to change anything in the name of keeping their heritage, keeping their culture. And in the meantime, their people are dying. Their people are dirt poor. We've got government agencies, the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Bureau of Indian Education, again, paternalistic institutions, basically saying, oh, we're going to take care of you. You're too stupid to take care of yourself. They have 9,000 employees. That's one employee for every 111 Indians on a reservation. Really? Again, I'm reading for this really good article in the Atlantic Magazine. One way to help Native Americans, property rights. Just amazing. Amazing, the bureaucracy that's being built around this, right? So we have, these agencies control education, they control economic development, they control the tribal courts, road maintenance, agriculture, social services. Huge budget, $3 billion in 2012. About $850 million of this goes to the Bureau of Indian Education. And the kids don't even go to these schools. They spend $20,000 per pupil. $20,000, and the quality of education is awful. This is government education on steroids, public education on steroids. Now, not only that, but we subsidize the Indians heavily, right? They get tons of money. The Indian Health Services, based on the Department of Health and Human Services, has a $4.6 billion budget for American Indians. The HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, they spent $650 million in 2015. And then they get welfare. And in recent times, because of all these problems on the reservations, they just keep pouring more and more money at these people. And surprise, surprise, it doesn't matter. Welfare is a disaster. This is a wonderful example. Destructive nature of paternalistic welfare. So what's the solution? Well, after the break, you'll hear it. In the meantime, call in 312-642-5600. I know this is not out of the headlines. It's not the Democratic or Republican convention. But this is a principle far more important than anything those idiots are talking about. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show.
For the last year, you've heard a lot of talk from the candidates.
I have a range of views.
And campaign rallies.
The noisy, the aggressive, wanting to win majority.
And debates and conventions.
I'm at 42 and you're at 3, so far I'm doing better.
Doesn't but matter. On this radio station, we also want to hear from you.
All they did was talk about how bad he was and not what they're going to do.
See, I was disgusted.
The United States crossed over to Doofus.
Your place to talk back on election 2016. AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. A hot air balloon burned up and crashed in Lockhart, Texas. It's believed there were 16 on board. There were no survivors. This woman lives nearby.
I heard some popping noises, and then when I looked back over this way, I saw the fireball go up.
Margaret Wiley, the crash occurred near some high-voltage power lines. The NTSB and FAA have investigators on the scene. The Clinton Kane team continued to campaign across Pennsylvania. They got an earful at a stop in Pittsburgh.
There are some angry outbursts out on the campaign trail. Hillary Clinton addressed some of the frustration and said she gets it.
I understand that there are people who feel like the economy's not working well for them. And I understand that because I'm not satisfied with the status quo. Are you?
The concern for the Clinton campaign is Donald Trump appears to be connecting with white working class voters here in the Rust Belt.
Fox's Mike Emanuel. Fox News. We report. You decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
I'm Dylan. Here's a check of traffic. On the inbound, Ike, brake lights at Wolf to Harlem, 50 minutes from Thorndale to the old post office. Delays on the outbound, Ike, at Cicero to Des Plaines, about 35 minutes from the old post office to Thorndale. Inbound, Edens, heavy at Foster, 23 minutes from Lake Cook. Outbound, Edens, 20 minutes from Montrose out. Inbound, Kennedy, jammed at Montrose, 44 minutes from O'Hare to downtown. On the outbound, Kennedy, brake lights at Addison from downtown to O'Hare, 37 minutes. Inbound Stevenson, heavy at State, 45 minutes from 355 to Lakeshore. Outbound Stevenson, just a 42-minute ride from Lakeshore. And the inbound Ryan, 18 minutes from 95th to downtown. Partly cloudy tonight, low 64. Partly sunny, high 79 tomorrow. Currently 77. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
The U.S. stock market's on the brink of collapse. World currencies will soon freeze and devalue, and gold will hit $10,000 per ounce. So says New York Times bestselling author and economist Jim Rickards in his latest book, The New Case for Gold. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta, and I'm the managing director at Advantage Gold. Advantage Gold is on a mission to warn everyone about the massive risks facing all investors right now. And that is why Advantage Gold is giving away Jim Rickards' latest best-selling book absolutely free. Call 800-900-8000 right now to get your free copy. That's 800-900-8000. In this book, Jim explains how loose credit has created massive asset bubbles, why central banks are no longer able to prop up economies by taking on more debt, and why demand for gold will soon spike worldwide, driving the gold price to as high as $10,000. If you care about your financial future, please call now. 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. My name is Adam Baratta. We are Advantage Gold, and your future is safe in our hands. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold has the highest ratings according to TrustLink, with a 100% five-star rating.
Raj Shah, host of Secure Retirement Radio.
You don't have to go underwater anymore. You don't need to go down in that hole with your portfolio and dig yourself out. You can actually put a floor so you never go down ever again and get into a strategy where you just continue to make growth. So not only that your principal is protected, but whatever gains you make, those are protected as well.
Tune in for Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Sunday mornings at 7 here on AM 560, The Answer.
Hi, Amy Jacobson here, and there's a great reason why nearly every AM 560 host endorses this product, because it's the best ever. Even the National Sleep Foundation agrees that Made in America MyPillow is in a class by itself, because they made it their official pillow. If you still haven't bought one, you should. You'll sleep better, and it's good for your health. It's washable to remove that dead skin, dirt, skin oils, and dust mites that can cause allergies, acne, and asthma. You really deserve a washable MyPillow. It comes with a 10-year warranty, and it's an excellent health investment. So visit MyPillow.com or call 800-489-0201. Be sure to use the promo code Amy so I get credit, and you'll get two MyPillows for the price of one. Give one as a gift, keep the other for yourself. Or just use both, but do it now. 800-489-0201 or online at MyPillow.com. Promo code Amy. 800-489-0201.
Check it out. It's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So we're talking today about this article I've read in The Atlantic magazine about Native Americans called One Way to Help Native Americans Property Rights. I would change the title and say only way to help Native Americans, or for that matter anyone, is with property rights. Property rights essential to human life. And if you look at the world and if you see cultures that have succeeded and cultures have failed, property rights are key. And not just implicit kind of everybody knows. Property rights that are protected and defended in a constitution, in the law, in a legal system, where you know that what you produce is yours. What you create is yours. And there's a group in America where that does not exist. That does not exist. And what we can, you know, we can learn a lot from this group because we can learn a lot about what doesn't work, what has failed. And we can apply this. We can apply this to other segments of our population. For example, welfare doesn't work. Welfare doesn't work. It doesn't help the people it's supposed to help. Now, it's immoral because I think it's wrong. It's a violation of property rights to take money from some people and give it to others. It's wrong to take money from some people and give it to others. But it also doesn't help the people you're giving the money to. It doesn't help them. All you're doing is institutionalizing them into poverty. All you're doing is making their life harder. All you're doing is making their life impossible. You're destroying their self-esteem. You're destroying their capacity to produce and create for themselves. Now, this is evident in these Indian reservations. In one place, in the Cheyenne Indian Reservation in Montana, the unemployment rate is 78%. Now, how do they still live? Because they get checks from the government. Do you think this is good for them? That nobody works? That they have no profession, no occupation, that they get no pride from producing and creating for themselves, from putting food on their family's table? This is a disaster. It's a disaster that holds them back. Not only is it wrong that we are being taxed in order to give them money, but it's wrong that they, because they get the money, do nothing, go nowhere, because they don't need to, because they're incentivized not to. And the core of this is, as we'll get to in a minute, the fact that they don't own the land on which they live, because if they owned the land on which they lived, their entire condition would be completely different. And we got Sean on the line. I haven't talked to Sean in a while. Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Very good, very good. Well, this ties into why you haven't talked to me. You know, I'm a real estate broker. I've been working. I'm licensed in Illinois and Florida, and I go back and forth. And here's my argument to you. I think that when you speak of property rights, it's an illusion to think that anyone has them. You don't own property. Hey. I don't own property. No one listening owns property. You may be on title, but the reality is, show me a piece of property in sovereignty that you own from the government. It certainly isn't your money. It's taxed six different times before you get what's left, and it certainly isn't real estate. And in Illinois, for example, in Chicago in particular, they just had a bunch of aldermen say, prove that you don't own your property for this website where you want to rent someone's house and you leave the town, the name escapes me. They just passed an ordinance because of the hotel lobby that prevents you from renting out your property. So my argument to you is, any property rights you're speaking of, is only theoretical. It is only in history. It is only a fond memory that today's government has usurped all property rights. And as you now have the most immoral of all taxes, the inheritance tax rears its ugly head every time an economy is in stagnation. So right now, they say, go ahead.
I agree with you. I mean, I mean, look, we all have property rights because property rights are inalienable. They're ours, right? What the government is doing today, systematically doing today, to all Americans, it's just to these Indians it's doing it in dramatic fashion, but to all Americans, is violating our property rights. I own my house. The fact that the government, if I don't pay my property taxes, the government takes it away from me, means that they are violating my rights. My rights are inalienable. They can't take my rights away. They're just, oh. When they take 50% of my income, they are stealing my money. It's my money. I have a property right over that money. What we don't have today is a legal system that protects rights. That's the illusion.
We do not have representation demanding it. What you have are politicians who pretend to represent you. In an election year, we'll see it. You'll have there's going to be a pretend. Where is the politician? Where is the congressman, the senator? Where are any of them that are demanding that the people who have property are entitled to keep that property? None of them. And here's the thing. Here's why I listen to your show whenever I can. Whenever I can, I listen to your show, because for that hour, you talk about the unalienable rights. But the reality is that it has been all of our rights have been infringed upon, have been usurped.
Whoa.
That's my problem with it.
You're absolutely right, Sean. Really, thanks. Great to hear from you, and go, you know, keep making money and keep as much of it as you can. The politicians will try to take as much as they can. My point is this. We have those rights. They can't take away our rights from us. They can take our stuff from us, and that means they, the government, the entity that's supposed to protect our rights, it means that they are violating their rights, our rights, therefore they are in the wrong.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
I'm Dylan, taking a look at traffic. Got a crash on the inbound Stevenson, blocking the right lane at Joliet Road. Traffic heavy from Route 83. 45 minutes from 355 to Lakeshore. Outbound Stevenson, 42 minutes from Lakeshore out to 355. Tapping the brakes on the inbound Edens at Foster, 22 minutes from Lake Cook. Outbound Edens, no delays, 19 minutes. Inbound Kennedy, heavy at Central to Montrose, 34 minutes from O'Hare to downtown. On the outbound Kennedy, delays at Addison. 36 minutes from downtown to O'Hare. Inbound Eisenhower, heavy at Mannheim to Harlem. 44 minutes from Thorndale to the old post office. Outbound Ike, tapping the brakes at Cicero. 35 minutes from the old post office. And just 18 minutes on the inbound Ryan from 95th to downtown. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 64. Partly sunny, 79 tomorrow. Currently 77. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars. Introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
I am so glad I did it. I'm just mad at myself for waiting so long. Hi, Amy Jacobson here for Serta Pro Painters. You know, our front porch had chipping and peeling. It looked old and run down, but thanks to Serta Pro Painters, it looks brand new again. And trust me, my neighbors are happy I did it. And you know, it's not too late to book that painting project, but don't wait. Be sure to get on Serta Pro Painters' summer painting schedule today. Call 800-GO-CERTA or visit CertaPro.com. That's Serta with a C. You know, Serta Pro Painters will work around your busy schedule to get your home looking picture perfect for all your summer entertaining. That's why Serta Pro Painters says, we do painting, you do life. Each Serta Pro Painters business is independently owned and operated. Whether it's residential or commercial, interior or exterior,
It's not too late to get that painting project off your to-do list. Call now, 1-800-GO-CERTA, 1-800-G-O-C-E-R-T-A, or visit CERTAPRO.com today.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So it is true, as Sean pointed out, that, you know, the government is violating all of our rights. You think you own your home? Well, try stopping paying that rent to the government called property tax, and you'll see how long that home remains yours. They'll come and take it from you. It's theirs, and they're letting you use it for a while. That's pretty pathetic. That's not what this country's about. It's not what this country was founded on. You think you own your income? Try not paying that income tax. And it's growing and growing and growing, and they think they can take as much as they want. If Hillary Clinton gets her way, you know, some of us will be paying 80% top marginal income tax rate. 80% of every hour you work will be taken away from you. They want to own our lives. But the example I'm trying to use today is this example of the American Indian, because it's so illustrative of what happens when you really take all property rights away. 78% unemployment in the Cheyenne Indian Reservation. And instead of those property rights, you hand people checks. Call it the welfare state. You know, so they get money. They get money from the government, but they own nothing as individuals. They own nothing as individuals. Now, think about this, though. Indian reservations, according to a paper written by Terry Anderson and Sean Reagan in a journal called the Journal of Energy, Law, and Resources, Indian reservations contain almost 30% of the U.S.'s coal reserves west of the Mississippi, 50% of potential uranium reserves, and 20% of known oil and gas reserves. This is worth probably $1.5 trillion or $290,000 per tribal member if it was distributed equally. And yet, 86% of these of the potential mineral and energy is undeveloped. And who knows what else is there if it was developed because of federal control over the reservations. They keep Indians from fully capitalizing on these resources. And imagine if we took all these reservations. This would be my solution. You take the reservations and you divvy them up. Every individual on that reservation gets a piece. You have to start from somewhere. Give them all an equal piece. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You start in some category, but you give them all title on the land. You dissolve the tribal leadership. You dissolve all these agencies that are supposed to help American Indians. You give them title on the land, and you give them the option to sell it. Yeah, if you want to keep the tribal thing, you can keep the tribal thing. They can have their own courts. They can, you know, but as long as they don't violate the individual rights or property rights of their members, of the people who live there. It's like a state, right? You treat the tribal lands as states. But the individuals within the tribal lands all have rights. And the property that is held today in trust, what a concept. What a concept to hold the property in trust. The property that is held today in trust is divvied up between the individuals. And then they can sell the land to all companies, to entrepreneurs who want to build businesses there. They can build condominiums. They can then make decisions about what to do with it. And then you start phasing out all the financial help you give them, phasing out all the checks that you write them, all the so-called free money that you give them. You force them to stand on their own two feet. You force them. No, you can't force them. Some of them will stay drunks. Some of them will stay poor. But most of them will not. They will rise up to the challenge. They will recognize the opportunity. They will have ownership. Some of them will take a mortgage out on the land and use it to build a building, maybe a condo, maybe a factory, maybe a garage, maybe a gas station, maybe a mall. Some of them will just sell and move to LA or to Dallas or wherever. I mean, what you have here is all this capital, land, that is unused because nobody owns it. Nobody owns it. The federal government refuses to recognize the fact that these individuals own it, so nobody, in a sense, owns it. If you give people ownership over the land that is theirs anyway, if you will, suddenly they create opportunities. Yeah, I know. A lot of Indian reservations has casinos, and that's how they've tried. But even the casinos. First of all, as more and more places have casinos, the revenues from the casinos are sinking. But again, the casinos are not owned by any individual. They're owned by the tribe. It's all collective. There's no individual property rights. Without individual property rights, there is no self-esteem. Without self-esteem, there's no purpose for life. Without a purpose for life, suicide rates and alcoholism are high. And this is part of my claim against welfare. Welfare destroys the recipient. Welfare destroys the recipient. There's no incentive. It creates a lack of self-esteem. We get our self-esteem, all of us, get our self-esteem from the work that we do. Whether it's raising kids, if we do it well, we get self-esteem from it. Or writing software code or being in real estate, when we do our job well, when we bring food and put it on the table, when we have money saved away, when we take care of ourselves and the people we love, that's when we can take pride in ourselves. That's when we gain self-esteem. That's when we can attain happiness, success, and everything we want as a human being. But when we get checks with no expectations, we're going to be depressed, alcoholic, join gangs, commit suicide, be self-destructive. That's nature. That's who we are as human beings. Welfare destroys human beings. It's destroying these native tribes, just like it's destroying the inner cities of America.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
Once upon a time, a girl named Goldilocks was searching for the perfect mattress. One was too hard.
Ouch.
One was too soft.
Ugh.
But one was just right. Then, when she tried to sleep, it squeaked, it rattled, it moved. It was the old metal bed frame, and it was unbearable.
It's time to get the Embrace Bed Frame by Knickerbocker. Why would you spend thousands of dollars on a quality mattress and then put it on an ugly, noisy metal frame that you have to hide with a dust ruffle? Get the Embrace Bed Frame by Knickerbocker. It will eliminate noise, motion transfer, and protect your mattress from sagging. Knickerbocker foundations are made in the USA and come with a limited lifetime warranty. They're available in 5 colors, look beautiful, and require no tools for assembly. It's time for a better bed frame from Knickerbocker.
Finally, Goldilocks got smart and got a Knickerbocker Embrace Bed Frame, and it was just right.
Visit your local furniture or mattress store and ask for the Embrace Bed Frame by Knickerbocker.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
So one of my favorite cities in the world is a city that you're going to be watching on television in the next few days. It's Rio de Janeiro, which in my view is probably the most beautiful city, just in terms of the geography and layout in the world. And I hope you, as you watch the Olympics, they'll scan around and show you some of the city. Amazing, gorgeous, beautiful. But huge, huge poverty problem. Lots of squatters over the years, over 50, 60, 70 years, have squatted on public land. And typically the squatters have squatted on the slopes of the mountains, on the slopes of the hills that cover Rio de Janeiro, that cover, that are all over Rio de Janeiro. And if you look at where they're squatted, and they live in tin shanties, and you know, poverty is unbelievable, and these things are falling apart. But this is where they live. This is where majority of the population in Rio de Janeiro live, and they're all very, very poor. And they have no property rights over the land on which they live because they're squatters. It's public land. But here's how you'd solve the problem of poverty in much of Rio de Janeiro. Give the squatters property rights over the land that they already inhabit. Let them. Give them title to that land. Let them take out a mortgage. Let them sell it. Because you know what? What's interesting is that in Rio de Janeiro, the squatters have squatted on the best land in Brazil. Maybe the best land in the world. The most beautiful views anywhere. I mean, if they were allowed to sell this land, they would build villas and hotels and all kinds of structures because people would pay a lot of money to have that view. I would. I would move to Rio and buy one of those things at the top of the favela. The favela are these neighborhoods of squatters. But what a waste. You've got this magnificent views. And yet you can't exploit them because nobody's going to build there because they don't have title. They don't have a right to the land. So what you need is not to grant rights. What you need is to recognize that public land is meaningless, that if you use, that you occupy public land, it should be yours, and they should give these squatters the land. And if you give these squatters the land, poverty in that region will go away. Suddenly, you'll take capital that is dead and give it life. A great economist, Hernando de Soto, a Peruvian economist, wrote a book called, I think it's called Capital Ideas. It's a fabulous book about just this, how you can solve the problem of poverty in much of the world by freeing up the capital that poor people already own. Just recognize it. They own the land on which they live. They own the land that they cultivated, but they don't have title for it. They can't take out a mortgage on it. They can't sell it because the state refuses to recognize that it's really theirs. Well, let's change. Let's change it so that the state does recognize it. And if they do, those communities will flourish. What we need to do for Native Americans is exactly the same. Recognize the private property that they already have. Give individuals title over that land. Now, there's an effort going on right now in Canada to do exactly this. There's legislation passing to pass the First Nations Property Ownership Act, and it would do a lot of what I'm talking about. And it's a huge step in the right direction. And if only we understood it in Canada, hey, if the Canadians can do it, we should be able to do it in the United States and free up these Native Americans from the horrific poverty and horrific self-esteem trap in which they live. And maybe then we can expand it to the rest of the world and finally solve the problem of poverty by recognizing and protecting property rights. You're listening to Yaron Brook Show.
The Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook.
All right, thanks. Almost got that ending.
Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether